This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. Lydia Perner joined alongside by Grace McCarron and Emma Leonardi. And this is a really tough episode to record because some things are just simply bigger than sports. Obviously, last night, you know, Rangers get their first win on Monday. Not last night. On Monday, they get their first win at home this season. And then they get their go on a two-game win streak, winning last night in Tampa. And, you know, us Rangers fans were feeling really good about the direction our team's trending. And then you wake up this morning and you get the news that longtime Rangers beat writer Larry Brooks has passed away at the age of 75. Honestly, when I saw that news this morning, I was heartbroken. I immediately turned around because the way my apartment's like set up, I have three articles hanging on the wall in frames. All three are Larry and Molly's because I grew up on Larry. Larry pretty much, you know, made Molly Walker who she is today. But yeah, he had to leave. He took a leave of absence on October 22nd. Announced that he was stepping away from his coverage due to a health issue, but ultimately this morning the cancer took his life. Once again, he was 75 years old. And simply put, there will never, ever be another person like Larry Brooks, and maybe not even just the hockey world, in the sports world in general. And just the fact that Larry was such a big figure in New York sports, I mean, for Rangers fans, we talk about our Rangers like being a fan is passed down from generation to generation. But Larry Brooks lived through those generations. Like, I recalled today, like, I have articles of New York posts from 1994 that my dad gave me as a gift, written by Larry Brooks. And Grace, I think I even, like, sent that to you back in June, because I was like, oh my goodness, I have an article from Larry Brooks from 1994. Like, how cool is this? But And the way he was able to craft stories, and what you don't learn or what you can't know about Larry until you're in the room with him, is just genuinely how good at his job he was. I know Rangers fans always complain that as media members, we're not hard enough on the players and not getting the answers out of the players that we should. But the truth is, if we do ask those questions we want to ask, there's no need, like, players do not have to talk to us. Mm-hmm. Our passes do not have to be given to us. Like, you have to approach it pretty delicately. But Larry Brooks had so much respect from players, from the fellow media, that he could ask whatever he want. And he never went overboard. He just asked the truth. And I recall a story. It was last December. I believe it was after the LA Kings game. The Rangers got destroyed in that game. And Larry goes up to Chris Kreider, and I'm standing there too, and he's, you know, drilling into Kreider, and I'm standing there like, oh my goodness, like, how is he getting away with these questions? And honestly, after we all went to the post-game room for Laviolette, and like, everyone was joking around because it was such a bad loss, and like, Larry said, oh yeah, like, I just talked to Kreider, and I kind of, like, sitting in the back, I kind of laughed, and I was like, that was so impressive, or whatever, like, I don't know how he does that. And then he kind of turned and looked at me, and was like, well, when you're my age, and you've seen a couple things, you can do whatever you want. But I just recall the story that Gretzky told today in the post, that, Larry was a friend of Gretzky's, and he mentioned how this wasn't the Wayne Gretzky that was 22 years old on the Edmonton Oilers. When he came to New York, he was 35 years old. So he wasn't, like, he was still one of the best players in the league because he's Wayne Gretzky, but he wasn't Wayne Gretzky. And so Larry, you know, released an article basically saying Gretzky was horrible the night before. And then so Larry comes into the locker room that next day, and Gretz goes up to him and is like, I wasn't that bad, was I? And Larry said, no, you were that bad. And Gretzky was like, okay, maybe I was that bad. But that's just the kind of respect that people had for him. And I was talking to our sports director, Bobby Chaffardini, this morning, and he mentioned that Brooks has called into one-on-one before, and there's no one that cared about the craft of reporting and getting the truth out more than Larry Brooks. And yeah, the hockey in journalism world will simply never be the same without Larry.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put into words this one, how much of a pioneer he was. Like, I mean, even people who don't care about hockey, like, everybody read Larry in the Post. Like, that is where you go.
Even if you didn't like Larry, you read
right.
his stories.
You tune in for Larry. Because, as you said, like, he did not, he, you know, there's some words we can't say on here, but he would get the story no matter what.
He was an OBS guy.
Right, no BS. He was after the story. If you read all of the tributes today, that was what he cared about. He would ask questions that obviously, you know, players and coaches didn't always like. Like, he had a whole thing with John Tortorella when he was the Rangers
Dan
coach.
Boyle.
Right, Dan Boyle.
Tortorella called, he talked to Larry this week.
Exactly.
And Larry's son said it meant a lot
yeah.
to him.
But there was, you know, there's a clip going around of John Tortorella literally telling Larry Brooks, like, can you go stand somewhere else? Because he was so mad at him. And Larry just says no. And it's like, that's not something you see a lot in this industry, you know, and it's hard to be that like that, especially, I mean, like, when you're young, like, and mm-hmm. just starting out, it's very hard to be like that. But when he, you know, keeps pressing the way that he always did, he never really took time off until he got sick a few weeks ago. He also did, when it wasn't the Rangers season, he would do the Yankees and he would do the U.S. Open. He was always busy, didn't seem to want to take any time off, even when he took the leave for his illness. He said, like, you know, I'm going to come back. I'm ready to come back. And sadly, the cancer took his life this morning. And it's just terrible. It's hard to imagine what Rangers coverage will be like without him. Obviously, Molly Walker wrote a beautiful piece in the Post mm-hmm. today.
Really, really good.
About how he mentored her. And she's fantastic. I mean, we talk about all the time how much we love her. But, you know, she's going to fill those footsteps in the Post, and it's tough to fill those shoes, but
you can never
do a good job.
You can never fill Larry's shoes, but
yeah.
You'll always be able to see, like, Larry through Molly's work, because truly, like, growing up, and Molly was my favorite Rangers beat writer, and I love, you know, I all of them were
yeah.
Important, you know, when you're living in Massachusetts and can't get, like, the news word of mouth, that type of thing. Like, I grew up on, you know, Vince, Molly, more recently Johnny Lazarus, but it's different when you get to, like, be on the inside and see how these people operate, and the partnership that Larry and Molly had, to see how she's kind of grown in this space because of him is just, it's just extraordinary. And he's not, like, he's a tough guy on the outside. He's not
yeah.
all, like,
he's not a softie.
Exactly. But that's why he's so good at what he does, and,
mm-hmm.
and he cares. And that to me was what mattered more than anything. I mean, my family was probably the last family to get rid of the newspaper subscription. I still tried to send the New York Post to my P.O. box on my apartment this year, but apparently you can't send it. Two P.O. boxes, I learned that. So New York Post, if you're hearing this, please let me send it to my apartment P.O. box. But I love paper. I love newspaper prints. And, like, people would always ask me why. Like, senior year of high school, if I had this class, environmental science, first block, my whole class was reading the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were reading the front to back for, like, funny reasons, but I was,
no,
like, there for the sports.
Immediately back page.
I was there for the sports section, and when I tell you, I read these articles, like, consistently, like, for years, and I loved going to the end of the driveway and picking up the paper
mm-hmm.
and seeing it in color and seeing the headlines, and I still have so many of those papers saved. Like I mentioned, I have the one in my apartment, a couple in my apartment, but, like, I have boxes of them because there were some articles that I, like, didn't want to get rid of because
mm-hmm.
I liked the story, or I liked, like, as bad as the Rangers ended up being in that Devil series, I still have all of Larry and Molly's articles from that series because I just loved reading about, like, the wins and stuff. And, I mean, I'm not sure we can say this, but who else gets away with an article titled Size Matters than Larry Brooks?
Nobody.
About an NHL player?
Nobody.
Not going to say who the NHL player is because doesn't matter, but, like, that's the respect and that's the humor that Larry brought, and that's, like, ultimately, like, he's the reason I kept the Post for as long as I kept it, like, and I'll never regret spending the $2, like, a day or whatever on it, because the articles were just so good, and they're such a, you know, piece of they can be such a piece of history because I have the 1994 papers.
Yeah.
You know, I have one of them in my hanging also on the wall. I don't know if it's the post specifically, but that's the value of print that is kind of sad to see going in the digital era. But yeah, Larry Brooks, there's not enough good things to say about this man, because truly just seeing like the players post about him and stuff, it shows you how big of an impact he had. And even when we talk about the New York Islanders, the New York Post did not want to include the New York Islanders on the beat coverage for years.
Yeah.
Larry Brooks was the pioneer of, no, we got to cover the Islanders, and like led the way to have full-time Islanders coverage, which I believe now we have from Ethan Sears, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on the road with the team as well. That was Larry Brooks doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until this morning you're reading the articles.
Yeah, he wanted, one thing I can't remember the exact quote that I read this morning, but it was like, the Post should not be just like one of the top papers, it should be like the paper, especially that you go to for sports. And he said, like, I wanted to contribute my small piece to that, but like, it's more than a small piece. Like, he was, you know, the biggest part of their hockey coverage, and honestly, their sports coverage, their legacy is like one of the premier sports outlets in the area.
So yeah, I mean, the Post is the best of the best, and I'm excited to see how Molly Walker is gonna kind of emerge from this and, you know, honor Larry. But Larry Brooks, the hockey world will never be the same without you. Rest in peace. So I guess now, there's been a lot, we've talked, you know, about the sad news this morning, but Larry didn't always have negative articles. Sometimes he did have good things to say about the Rangers, and I think this would be a week where he would have good stuff to say about the New York Rangers as they get their first win on home ice on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long time coming, and the funny enough part about this is they didn't even play that good in that game. They just were lucky. They were opportunistic. And they face a Nashville team who happens to be worse than them. Or not worse than them, but just, if you're not going to be the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, that's not
That's
great.
A problem. Yeah. But yeah, the Rangers pick up that win Monday. Final score 6-3 there. And then they go last night. What day is today?
Today's Thursday.
Wednesday night, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa 7-3. So all of a sudden, we have 13 goals in two games. Meanwhile, the Rangers had been shut out, I want to say, 5 times at home. Wait, let me quickly do the math.
Oh,
opening night, Washington, Edmonton, Carolina, Islanders. 5 games at home.
That's
they're
incredible
shut out.
Recall.
And then they go and they, don't act
yeah,
so surprised.
I know. Yeah.
All that occupies my brain. Then they go and they score 13 goals in the last two games and leading the charge, Vincent Trocheck comes back from injury.
With a bang,
an absolute bang. He has been the Rangers' best forward. Not best forward, honestly, because everyone's been playing good. Honestly, the Rangers' best forward's been Will Cooley, but like I was trying to say that. Like, Cooley's playing unreal hockey. He scored 2 goals last night. Actually, he scored 1 goal in the power play in like the first minute of the game, and then he scored an empty netter. And shout out Jack Warner. Jack Warner texted me. And with invisible ink, stat pad goal. And I was like, say it to my face.
Wow.
Say it to my face. That's a goal scorer's goal. Not everyone can score on an empty net.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, Cooley's back on power play 1. Panarin has 9 points since shaving his head. Trocheck's got 2 goals last night and I think had 3 assists on the game on Monday. Lafreniere's finally looking like the Alexi Lafreniere that the Rangers drafted and that we saw in the playoff series against the Florida Panthers in 2024, because we've been waiting for that to come back. But the biggest thing for me with the Rangers, and oh, another thing, I'm just going to keep remembering things because like it's been such a good week with Rangers hockey. The defense is showing up. The defense is not just showing up on the ice. The team defense hasn't been that great. That's the funny part. They're getting on the stat sheet. Gavrikov had 2 points on Monday. I believe Fox had like 3 assists Monday, and Fox also had like 2 assists last night. Like, the defense, Borg had a goal. Defense is getting on the board, and that's what you want to see. You want to see the team effort, but what needs to now be the next focus is doing it the right way, because they got lucky these past 2 games. Like, I've talked so much about the deserve to win a meter and like the expected goals with the New York Rangers. that now that they're winning games. And this is what I asked Lafreniere on Monday. I was like, you guys had 5 goals on 12 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, you went like games where you had like 10 high danger chances and 0 goals. Like, how do you, like, how? And basically, like, that's the problem with, like, you can't always just look at the stats because the stats are misleading. If I was looking at the stats of the Rangers, like, they'd be have a far better record than they actually do because they've been playing really well to start the season. They just kept getting goalied. And I don't know, like, they, on the expected goals last night, they were expected to lose, and they score 7 goals against Andrei Vasilevskiy.
They're very confusing, the Rangers. Like, I
tell me about
it. Yeah, like, I don't know what I'm watching at any given point. But, hey, like, they had to get the... They had to get the monkey off their back with the they can't win at home thing. Like, that, you know, if they go and win, like, 4 in a row here, I would not be surprised. Because the Blue Jackets are, like, whatever they are. And then the Red Wings are pretty good, but they can also, they can be beat.
Honestly,
Islanders beat the Red Wings, so you
I'm
guys
like,
should be.
Yeah, the Rangers played the Red Wings, like, last week, and they ended up winning that one.
Yeah, 4-1.
Something 4-1, yeah. Cooley scored in that game as well.
There you go.
And he got a goal taken away, because I remember I was at Barnyard. Anyways. I was worried about the Tampa game because it's like one of those things when you finally break a streak, like when you finally get that home win and they've been playing so well on the road. I think they're 8-1-1 on the road, if not 9-1-1.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like the gimme, like you win at home, now you're going to start sucking on the road.
Right.
But to honestly get a win on at home, win on the road, Cooley gets the Broadway hat. Duh. I'm like, it's, like, very encouraging for the team because it would almost be like, okay, we finally got the win at home, and then now we got a loss on the road, and we only have one regulation loss all year. Like, then you'd kind of be back like, oh, like, how did that happen? Like, why couldn't we get this win? But, no, they were able to take care of business last night, and again, not the best game. There were 7 goals in the first period between the two teams. It was insane. The Rangers went up 2-0, and then all of a sudden, I think it was 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the craziest game, especially considering the two goalies, Igor Shesterkin and Andrei Vasilevskiy, two of the best in the NHL. This season, both of them are meh, but like still, that's not necessarily... I think that was the most goals in a first period since like it was... TNT said it was like March something, 2023.
Wow.
Because then the game kind of settled down.
Yeah.
But that's when Trocheck was able to get his 2 goals. And Cooley ended up getting the empty netter to seal the deal. But yeah, honestly, really encouraging stuff. The top guys are producing now. That's like the biggest thing for me. Because actually, I don't think that Taylor Radish is leading this Rangers team in goals anymore.
Oh boy.
I believe Will Cooley might be leading the Rangers in goals.
Oh,
let me fact check that. I believe, I want to say he's leading goals. Sorry, I don't have too many notes prepared because my computer is at 4%.
Yeah,
so
things happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little conservative with this, but let me pull up the stats. Hold on. Give me a second here. Well, now Panarin's got 16 points, and I think at the beginning of the week he had like not 16 points. Okay. At the beginning
of the not
week, 16 he had like
points.
Far less. I think he's had like an insane amount of points the last couple games. But Will Cooley has 6 goals to lead the New York Rangers. Look at that. Would you look at that?
You have been vindicated.
I am so back. I am absolutely so back. Panarin's got 5. Laf's got 4. Radish is still up there with 5. GT Miller got on the board last night, a goal that went off his toe. So honestly, just like really good offensive explosion from the Rangers. The one thing now is like the teams they've been playing against haven't been able to necessarily capitalize on their defensive mistakes because they have been making a fair share of defensive mistakes. And even that, Sullivan kind of talked about that after the game on Monday, that he was like, it's funny coming up here and being like, we didn't even play our best in this building and we won, you know, 6-3. But yeah, I got Panarin has 3 goals and 6 assists and shaving his head. That's
makes you think maybe we should all shave
I yeah why not
be better in life.
Oh, Gabe Perreault also gets his first NHL point on Monday and nearly got his first NHL goal. It hit off the post. He looked up to the heavens after that one because that was as close as you can get, but he got on the board with the assist on the Lafreniere power play goal. And honestly, I kind of mentioned this, I think I don't know when I mentioned this. I talk a lot. But the Rangers power play 2, like a week ago, it was like Shiri, Labba, Cooley, Radish, and Schneider. But now that Trocheck and Perreault are back, it's Trocheck, Perreault. I think it's still Shiri, Schneider, and I'm forgetting who. Trocheck, Lafreniere, Schneider. I don't remember. But the other night, Unit 2, when they scored, it was Trocheck, Perreault, Lafreniere on the ice. And so, like, that just shows you the depth. I think it was those three, and then Schneider and Connor Sherry. So, like, the Rangers have gotten so much depth on the power play, and they had such a terrible power play to start the year that it's really, it's good that, you know, seeing these two people come into play, it completely changes, like, the makeup of the whole roster.
Yeah.
And also, like, that, another point on that, like, just inserting Pro and Trocheck into the lineup adds so much offense, because that's two offensive-minded players.
Yeah, they definitely missed Trocheck while he was gone. And then Perreault lighting it up very quickly is good to see. I've also liked what I've seen from Noah Labba, Lydia.
What's up?
Noah Labba. What? He scored his first... Was that his first goal against Detroit?
He's got a couple. I think his first NHL goal was against, like, Calgary a couple weeks ago. I think he has three.
I like what I've seen from him.
He's been a really good player. And honestly, like, people always asks, like, oh, why? How is Labba? Like, because Labba's played really well. But how's Labba making the team over a guy like Othman, Berard, or, like, Gabe Perreault? And Mike Sullivan's very clear on why. It's because Noah Labba is, like, a career bottom sixer, but, like, a good one.
Yeah.
One that... It's his play style. His play style is very much, like, fast, hard, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not dirty, like, go to the dirty areas.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily, like, a recipe to be in the top six, but that's a recipe to be a really good, you know, third-line role player, get a lot of minutes, and make a decent amount of money in the league, and get a good amount of points. Where a guy like Brendan Othman or Brett Berard, if they're to break into the league, they're probably going to be, like, skill scoring forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily the role that the Rangers needed filling. They needed a guy that can come out and play, you know, maybe smaller minutes, but still keep his game consistent.
Yeah.
And if you're a skill guy, you can't necessarily, if you're not getting minutes, it's going to affect your game. Where if you're like a grinder type of guy, you can go in there and still like throw the body around and get to the dirty areas and it doesn't change your game. That's how Cooley was able to get into the league a couple years ago. Where Perreault is more of a skill guy. So now that there's an outlet to get Gabe up here, you're seeing the importance of kind of taking your time with him. Because he's looked good these past couple games. Actually, last night he was down onto line 3. But Sullivan said it's because they were on the road. So John Cooper dictates the Rangers like put their lines on first, and then Cooper sees who the Rangers put on. I forget what that's called. But dictates the matchups. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And so he was basically like, I moved Gabe down off of the line with Panarin and Lafreniere because I don't want him having that to play against the Gensel, Kucherov, and I forget the winger on that line. He didn't want Gabe to have to play against that because Gabe's not a defensive guy, right?
Right.
And if he makes mistakes, he's like, that gets on a young guy. So that's why he made that tweak. I do expect to see Gabe Perreault moving back into the top six. Mm-hmm. Sorry, he's not playing with Panarin and Trocheck. That line. He's playing with Zibanejad and Miller. I said Trocheck and Lafker, or whoever I said, because I was still thinking power play. But, like, the fact that Mike Sullivan's making these in-game adjustments, A, something Ranger fans haven't seen, and B, something USA Hockey fans should be very excited about, as he is the head coach of the Olympic team.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
See, I know my Olympic stuff.
You are locked.
Dude. I'm locked. Yeah. I kind of have to be.
Definitely Mike Sullivan, I think, is put, like, even when they were not winning at home, which obviously was a problem, he kind of was not shying away from that being a problem in the way that I feel like, not to dog on Peter Laviolette, but, like,
you can do it.
Like, it's like, that was a little more, like, he was less hard on them, I feel like. And that's maybe why the locker room got lost last year. Like,
Mike Sullivan is, like, hard on his players in the right way. Like, he pushes all the right buttons. Like, I think I mentioned to you, like, we've talked so much in that post game about, like, human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how it's weighing on the team and how he tries to get those negative feelings out. Because, obviously, he had them, too. You know, like, he's they're all like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he talked post-game Monday after that win about how he told his players in the morning that they need to stick with each other and get each other through the game.
Yeah.
Because they have to, like, because the problem was when stuff started going wrong, they'd all get frustrated. So his message to his team that morning was, you have to pick each other up.
Yeah.
You have to pick each other up when stuff goes wrong and fight through it. And I think that's a phenomenal message to, like, go up there and say, you guys are not being good enough teammates to each other. Be better teammates to each other and the win will come.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we saw, because that game on Monday, Rangers score first, Mika gets on the board, and then Schneider takes a penalty that was not a penalty. I mean, the Nashville player blew an edge, mm-hmm. but they called it a trip. Matthew Wood scores his first goal and he ended up getting a hat trick. But then you're kind of like, so the Rangers, they finally get that 1-0 lead in the first 10 minutes of the game. Because the problem was the first 10 minutes of the game, they've been playing really well. They hadn't been scoring. Mm-hmm. Then those next 10 minutes come, and you know the other team's going to score, whether it's Carolina, the Islanders, whomever had come to the Garden. So then when that game went 1-1, you're like, okay, you don't want to be like 1-1 going into the intermission, because that's like, to those guys, that's going to be a failure, because you're going to be like, why? Like, right. you're still, even though you're not down, you're still going to be asking the question, like, what's going on?
Yeah, why aren't you winning?
But Gavrikov gets that goal right back. So then you're going up 2-1. And that's the first time, other than, I think, against San Jose, they took a lead into the third period, that the Rangers took a lead into an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge.
That's huge.
And then they're able to get the 3 goals in the second period. So it's like, they didn't have to sweat out a win on that one, even though I was like, it was like 5-1, and I was still like, like, I don't know, like, if I think I sent you, like, the beginning of my post-game video where I was genuinely, like, grinning ear to ear. I was like, for the first time in a year.
It's like Christmas.
The New York Rangers have won a game that I am covering. I literally thought the day was never going to come. It was Christmas morning. I said this is the first win I've covered since Lou Orlando was a first semester senior.
Which is an outrageous stat. Like, actually a ridiculous.
I just wanted to put it into perspective.
Just like, okay? To put it all, because all of, you know, because everybody in that group chat, like, feels like they're 1,000 years old. I fear, like, they.
But
were,
I wanted,
like,
to, like, emphasize how long it's been.
Yes, it's been quite a while, considering, like, how many games you've covered. You were there very often.
I've covered, like, every game so far this season.
Yeah.
Except for, like, 2. So, and I was in attendance for one of them.
There you go.
Yeah, I was genuinely believing that I was cursed, but. It's all right. Rangers got into the win column on Monday. Cooley got a goal there. Had to bite my lip because, not my lip, my tongue, because I was like, oh my God, Will Cooley scored, but doesn't matter. And then he scored again 2 times last night. So really good week for the New York Rangers. They play again Saturday on a back-to-back Saturday in Columbus, then Sunday back at Madison Square Garden. I believe I'll be there because Max has Thanksgiving dinner with his family. So there I believe I'll be there once again. But yeah, let's go to the New York Islanders, who play tonight at 10 p.m. Really good start to the season. I think they're kind of riding, like, the youthful energy. I'm not sure how long this is going to last, it's encouraging to see. Would you say, Grace?
I actually am very impressed with them so far.
Also, I'm going to need you to take the Islanders segment because the laptop is not going to make it.
That's fine.
Okay.
So
and then we'll get to Capitals.
Yes. So first of all, I would like to say, obviously, the Saturday win, genuinely not trying to rub it in here. Saturday win shutout at MSG over the Rangers is something that I did not see coming, frankly.
I totally saw that coming.
I know you saw it coming. I didn't think.
What?
Yeah. I mean, that was the most predictable thing.
We were watching it in our room,
like,
I was like, Grace, you don't
minutes.
Have to be freaked out.
Yeah. I was,
they're cursed. You don't have to be freaked out.
I was sitting there.
No, I believe in the curse. So I was like, no chance.
I was sitting there getting ready for formal. There was still like a good 6 minutes left in the third period. I was like, they're gonna blow it. And then they didn't. Ilya Sorokin, my guy. But that was a win that they, I don't know if they needed that win. Well, okay. On Friday at UBS, they played the Minnesota Wild. That was a bummer of a game. Wild won 5-2. I was there. So I'm thinking maybe it's my fault, because then they got 2 really good wins in a row when I wasn't there for either of them.
No, you don't understand the trenches I've been in. Stop
not,
trying to say it's you.
Not the same, but sometimes I get, I'm like,
I went
wow.
a year that's, between covering. Yeah, I missed it by 3 days.
That's outrageous.
It was the San Jose game, November 14th, 2024.
That's ridiculous. Oh my God, so much has happened to us since then. Like, anyway. Bummer of a loss against the Wild. The Wild are, last year they were great. This year, kind of like treading water a little. I think they're probably going to end up better than they look. But terrible game on defense for the Islanders. Whatever. Bo Horvat scored, so.
Actually, Horvat's had a really good start to the season. He's got like 20 points, right?
Bo Horvat is like up there on the points leaderboard, yeah.
Again, I would look, but
it's fine. He actually did not score that in that game. I believe it was Pageau and Heinemann. You do have a phone. But anyway, shutout at MSG, and then two nights later, an overtime win in New Jersey. Our dear Sophia Smith was there. And
that's honestly huge. Like, I would rather
That's huge.
I would rather the Islanders over the Devils.
Obviously, I'm very partial to this win because Matt Barzal scored the overtime winner, but that's not the point. The point is that the Devils are a legitimately very good hockey team.
They're a bunch of fugazis. They're gonna hit the midseason
implosion. Do I think they're gonna win the cup? No. But
they're not built to survive this.
But like, they're right now riding a nice wave, especially if you ask Tucker Austin. But you know, good to get a win. Two wins in a row over, frankly, pretty hated rivals. And now they have this little West Coast run. Actually, it's a 5-game road trip. They are in Vegas tonight, which I'm a little worried about. Well, actually, they're pretty evenly matched. So, yeah, I'm very impressed with them. Bo Horvat's been great. Emil Heinemann has been a revelation in the trip.
Who did you get him from? Noah Dobson.
Yes. Yeah. They just threw in Emil Heinemann
in
that trade. We had the picks, too, and then Emil Heinemann was also, and he's been fantastic, and I've talked to him in the locker room. He's lovely. Mm-hmm. So, happy to have him here. And Ilya Sorokin has had two great games in a row, and I believe he's also starting in Vegas tonight. So, hopefully he has fixed whatever funk he was in to start the year, but also David Riddick has been pretty solid. So, I'm actually feeling good right now. I feel like this is not something I usually say about the Islanders.
Feeling good is such an understatement for you. The way that you said you're like...
Do you hear the joy in my voice? I'm freaking out.
Before this podcast, you were sitting in there on the floor saying, yeah, we kind of like rule the state.
Yeah, we kind of like run the... No,
hello?
Give me a break. But yeah, I just have to play the Blues and... Or not the Blues. I'm sorry. The Sabres. The Blues are the next home game, which I will be at Saturday, November 22nd. But anyway... My point is, I'm very happy with this so far. They have a few tough games coming up. Vegas tonight, tomorrow in Utah, and then the Avs, who are one of the best teams in the league. So I'm not going to be surprised if they lose that game. But, you know, they've beaten a couple teams that I didn't think they were going to beat. So I'm just riding the wave. Exactly. Any weird thing can happen.
That's the best part about this league.
I'm riding this wave while I can, to be honest. You never know when they're going to go on like a 5-game losing streak. So I'm happy right now. Bo Horvat should wait. Here's a question for you, Lydia. Thoughts on Bo Horvat for Team Canada?
That's actually a very good question. I think, honestly, I don't see an argument against having Bo Horvat on the Team Canada roster. He would be in a bottom six role, like he was last year for the Four Nations, but I think he's a guy that's going to make the team, like, without a doubt. It's always weird with talking, like, Olympics with Four Nations, like, the fact that we're calling, like, some of the best players in the NHL, like, bottom six. But I think he's going to make the Team Canada roster.
That'd
I think
awesome.
He's probably going to be one of the only, probably the only Islander to make. Oh, Barzal.
We have to see what happens with him.
Yeah, was he on the Four Nations team last year? I think
no.
It was just Bo. Yeah,
it was just and Brock was on. He was when he was still.
Yeah,
on
he was on
he
Team
was on,
USA.
Yes,
but in terms of Islander players, like the players that I could see making like the Team Canada or Team USA is probably just Horvat, maybe Barzal, but I'd have to wait and see.
Yeah. Some people are saying, like, Schaefer should be on Team Canada.
No.
Like, I don't know about that.
No. Schaefer,
I don't know if you want to mess
Schaefer's
with that.
Schaefer's a really good player and might have the skill set, but that's not... If I'm the New York Islanders, I'm not having that. And if I'm Team Canada, you don't want to put Schaefer in a best-of-best situation yet.
Yeah. Because he's so young. We forget that he's
so
young.
He is not old enough to be playing against
literally
the best
players in the world.
Night in, night out.
Yeah.
Like, consistently.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like you can bury his minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not a really, really good player, but that's not, like, a spot you put him in yet.
Yeah, I agree.
There's even question marks about, like, like players like Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
Because those two have been neck and neck this season, scoring a lot of points. I mean, Celebrini's been an absolute revelation. Like, I thought he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be Connor Bedard level good.
Yeah.
Celebrini's been unreal, but, like, even those guys are question marks. Like, should you, if you're Team Canada, do you take the risk or do you put a guy, it almost goes back to, like, the why Noah Labbit made the team.
Yeah.
Do you pick two skill guys that are young and put them in bottom six roles, or do you pick players that play like a harder style game that have skill, like a Brock Nelson, but put, or Bo Horvat, and put them in bottom six roles?
Yeah.
So I know Brock Nelson is an American, but like that's kind of a dilemma like you're rolling with. That's why like guys, I think last year like Anthony Cirelli was on that Team Canada team, or I can't even remember specifically. But I think Horvat will make the team, long story short.
I mean, certainly if he keeps this up, he will. Like, he's genuinely, like, it feels like every night he's in there. Even if he's not scoring every night, he's right there.
Well, if Bo Horvat's not scoring goals, the Islanders are not winning games.
Absolutely. Because, you know, they go on their little, like, where they struggle to...
Who's on his line? It's Heinemann, him,
and...
Is it Barzal, or is it, like, Duclair? Who's on
the They've been moving around the lines recently.
Who's it typically?
Heinemann, Horvat. It might be Barzal. Now I can't. I'm totally blanking. Horvat. Maybe if I just like type in the. Anyway, point it. Oh, it's Drouin. Usually.
Oh,
I forgot.
I mean, Jonathan Drouin's been playing quite well, but that's not like a player that I expect to play well all season.
Yeah, me neither.
I like him.
Me too.
I liked him when
but
he was on.
I'm not expecting him to be like leading the team.
Yeah.
So, but long story short, I'm quite pleased with how they look so far. Frankly, didn't expect this, but and Matthew Schaefer,
correct?
That sounds right. Yes.
Sorry, I can't have multiple tabs open because I currently have the Devils.
That's fine.
On my phone.
But yeah, 8-6-2, not too terrible. But I mean, I'm just interested to see. I'm just riding the wave, as they say. So
yeah, they're just out of playoff contention.
Yeah,
the Rangers are 9-7-2 after last night, but for some reason. The Rangers always have like the most front loaded schedule. Like
that's true.
They're always playing more games than other teams, and it pisses me off. And they have a back to back this week. So what are we doing?
Yeah. So the Islanders have back to back tomorrow, or today and tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
But the Islanders have only played 16 games.
Yeah.
The Rangers have already played 18.
18. Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah. So like that doesn't make like why
the
are
most
you
in the yeah
yeah they play they every year they're always playing the most in the league and I don't get
that's
why
that's weird.
Honestly, I think it's because if they're bad, they put the back end of the schedule back so that because if the beginning of the season is when you make all the money.
Yeah.
So if you front load the Rangers schedule, one of the most expensive franchises in the league, that's when you make your money before fans get sick of it.
That's true.
So that's like partially why maybe they front load. Maybe I just made that up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Cabelli's for school business. Sounds right.
Anyways,
do you have any more thoughts on the Islanders?
No, that was it. I'm interested.
Shall we travel over to Newark?
We can head to Newark if we so must.
Well, we
suppose
we don't really
we
have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Devils, two OT wins, two OT games in their last two games. They obviously lost at home at the Rock to the Islanders, and then one on the road last night against the Blackhawks. That was a very good game. Yeah. I was watching it because it was the TNT doubleheader. Because
there you go.
I actually slept through the second period and half the third period of the Rangers game. I was so tired. I was like, I'm just going to take a little nap during the intermission. Long story short,
there you go.
It was an hour and a half. And then
the
I wake up
us.
And all of a sudden it's 6-3. And I was like, wait, I was just stressing. So it was 4-3. It's the third period. Doesn't matter. But the second game of the TNT doubleheader was the New Jersey Devils and the Chicago Blackhawks. And Devils ended up winning that one 4-3. Blackhawks, one of the not as good teams in the league you'd think, but actually boast an 8-5-4 record this year.
That's not that bad.
That is not that bad. That's good for do 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 11th in the league.
There you go.
So I was reading an article the other day about like where teams are and whether it's like sustainable long term. Good teams and bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about the Blackhawks, and like people said, it's like not sustainable. But they're kind of riding off the vibes of like Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar, like you know, like 6'7".
That's
like,
so they're
have
so
you seen
cute.
The, they're like obsessed
yeah, I
with
watched
6'7".
Their interview.
They're
it was so cute,
funny guys. It's good to see Connor Bedard like
laughing.
Yeah, that's basically what I was gonna say. But yeah, so objectively, that's a good win.
Yeah.
I mean, the Blackhawks scored first in that game, I believe. And then, you know, to go and win that one in overtime, but just like, again, the Blackhawks statistically aren't a bad team, or record-wise aren't a bad team this year, but like, you don't want to go to Chicago and lose that game.
Yeah, that's not
as the New
great.
Jersey Devils, like, one of the best teams,
yeah,
if not the best team in the league. The Colorado Avalanche have the most points in the league, so they're number one. But the Devils are number two. The Anaheim Ducks are number three.
Ooh.
Holy cow.
Yeah, interesting.
That's why that article was released. Are these plays sustainable or not?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but the Devils get that when Simo Nemitz had a hat trick.
Yeah.
He's finally come into shape. Honestly, he never wasn't a good player for the Devils. He's just a defenseman.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he was going too hard for offense and he'd forget to play defense. So that was kind of a problem.
Yeah.
And that's why he had a rocky, like, first couple years with the Devils.
Wait, he had the tying goal to send it to overtime, and then OT he got the winner. Oh, that's a nice little night for him. All right. Nothing to complain about.
Five shots on goal for a defenseman. Luke Hughes had seven and no goals. Huh? Loser. Anyways,
things that happen to all of us.
Well, you know, we don't have a ton of time, so let's just quickly hit a segue, because the Devils are actually playing the Capitals on Saturday.
Nice segue.
Yes, beautiful segue.
And we have a Cavs fan on this, so why don't take it away, Emma.
I saw that was coming up, and I knew that you were going to segue with that.
I literally was just scrolling, and I was like, huh.
Beautiful.
There we go.
Beautiful.
And transition.
And I'm so excited, because I did some research into this. The last 5-on-3 podcast episode was on November 2nd, and Ovi hit 900 on November 5th.
Boy.
So I get to say, on behalf of WFUV, at least on the podcast segments, that Ovi hit 900, and that's just beautiful for me. He actually hit 901.
Love that.
Is he at 901 now?
He's at 901 now.
Okay.
He's
the first player to ever score 901 goals.
Yes.
Breaking records
yes,
every day.
Yes. I mean, it's been a bad run for the Caps. I won't lie. I was hopeful after he hit 900 that, because you saw this last time when he was making his way to 895. You saw
that carried them. Yeah.
Yeah. But you saw that they got in a rut right before that. Like, it was a little rut, but this time it's a bigger rut. And I was like, oh, maybe they can, like, you know, come back from this. It's not looking good. So that's not great. But it's okay. But yeah, no, he scored 899, at the Blue Jackets, and then they went four games, lost all four games in a row, and then won versus the Blues at home. And that's when he hit 900.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they get in a little rut whenever he's around some big milestone. They get really
scared.
I feel like it's because you try so hard to get that one
That's
player.
What I thought.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're too worried about it.
It was almost like Aaron Judge trying to get 62 a couple years ago. Yeah. Like the Yankees went on a losing streak.
Yeah,
exactly.
You get too worried about it. You get in your head. That's all you're focusing on. You're not just focusing on playing the game.
Which, of course, I feel like Ovi, as such a veteran, he's probably like, guys, I got it. And then the rest of them are like, you know, they don't know what to do because there's like this thing looming over them. But like Ovi's probably like, whatever. Like, I'm going to get it eventually.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah,
continue.
Exactly. But yes, so they lost twice after. Yeah. So they won versus the Blues where he got 900, and then they went on to lose twice away. And then they won versus the Hurricanes.
That's a good one.
They won at the Hurricanes.
That was Tuesday.
Wait, I watched that game, actually. It was a very good game. Keandre Miller had a horrible game that game.
Yeah.
Did that make you happy? Or
no, honestly, I saw Keandre after the loss against Carolina, and he said hi to everyone in the media.
Aww.
And, like, gave people, like shook our hands and stuff, like, gave people fist bumps. So I'm like,
that's kind of nice.
He's a good guy, but, like,
those turnovers
last year.
Yeah.
I would rather him do that for the Carolina.
And I have to say it, going to the Capitals Hurricanes game, I have to say it because nobody else cares but me. This is my Will Cooley.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Jacob Chychrun scored his 100th career goal. My man. My
Jacob Chychrun was supposed to be a Ranger
a
couple years ago.
I love that man. And he scored 100 when Ovi got 901.
Guys, I love how crazy Jacob Chychrun is. Do you know how crazy he is?
Oh, yeah.
He seems like he might be.
He has like his house, like it's no light bulbs. It's beeswax candles.
Yes, he's a little odd.
Cocktails are so weird.
He's like,
so
he's the weirdest. He's a fascinating guy. That's a better way to put it.
Fascinating.
Like, I love that we got to talk about all our men.
When you go to your free time, Grace, please look up the Jacob Chikrin lore.
Like, it sounds about, like, something I'm going to read about until 3 a.m.
I think he eats raw meat. Can I say that? Like literally raw meat.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know how else to say it.
Because
talking about like uncooked, like he's, grab a steak from the store and just eat it.
He's so interesting.
Yeah, because it's like there's health so benefits much to it.
And like he's just so, he's just amazing. I just love him. Like I have such a special place in my heart for him.
That's valid. He's a good player. I like to produce all the senators.
Yeah, so just had to shout him out a little bit there. Even though literally nobody else cares.
Jacob Chikrin. Yeah. I can get behind that one.
Yeah.
What's his name? Chikrin.
They call him Chicky?
Chichi? That's what you call him.
I call him Chi-Chi because I think Chi-Chi. It's funnier. But they call him Chicky.
Chicky.
Yes, yeah. Nicknames.
And he's bands. He's bands.
Oh, wow. I thought you said he's bands.
Like, no. Ovi like sings because he wears a headband. So Ovi like sings bands and make her dance.
Well, I know what was that story about Ryan Leonard? Bands. Ryan Leonard like didn't know Ovi didn't know Ryan Leonard's name, so he called him like some weird name or something.
He has like the cutest little nicknames, and it makes me so it's
like
just
you could probably be Ovechkin's teammate for like 10 years, and he might never know your real name.
Yeah,
it's just like the nickname that it gives you sticks.
Yeah.
But Capitals next game against the Devils, right? Is that in New Jersey?
Their next game is against Florida tonight.
Yeah. Oh, so the Caps.
That could be a win.
The Caps play Florida. Yeah.
Oh, I guess I had the Devils pulled up. The Devils next game is against the Capitals.
Yes.
Where is that? Is that here?
That's in
Washington, D.C. I'm so depressed because I was.
We went to that?
Like, I'm going to go. And then I was like, no, I'm not. It's in D.C. Yeah. Great. Awesome.
I would have gone.
Guys, don't you even worry. I'll take the train down on Saturday.
I was
going to say,
you could take
the
Metro North, or not the Metro North, Amtrak.
Wait, I totally could.
Like, you could. Neither of us are going to be home this weekend.
I thought about doing that. In the series a couple weeks ago. Or not a couple, like a couple years ago. I was almost bought a ticket to Capital One Arena to go to the Rangers playoffs.
I mean, yeah.
Honestly,
whenever I think of this more for the Mets. Whenever the Mets go on like a close road trip, I'm like, I could go, but I never do, and I feel like I really should because I haven't been to like Philly or Washington.
Eight hours to Ottawa in the snow.
Yeah, that's another one. Toronto, Toronto's right here.
Is not right here. Toronto's like a nice 12-hour
drive.
Toronto's
like a good 5-hour or 12-hour.
No, it's
drive.
Like it might be 8 hours.
5 hours to Syracuse. 12-hour.
Toronto's far because I've thought
about
it.
I could do a 12-hour. I've done like a 14-hour.
Grace,
do
you have your license?
I do have my license.
Oh, you do have your license. Yeah. You just don't like driving. Well, you live in the city.
I hate driving. My dad
drive.
There's
no way you could brave a 12-hour road trip
by
yourself.
No, I'm saying I would make my dad go with me.
Okay, that's fair.
He would drive. And I would talk to him during
it. I was going to say, because I was like, have you ever been on an 8-hour road trip?
Oh, God. Not me driving.
Yeah.
I made it
the whole way to Ottawa, and honestly, I was struggling. It was like, we were 4 hours into the trip last year, and then I was like, guys, I think I got it. 2 hours. Carpool karaoke, it's chill. Me, Lucas, and Lucas's friend. Lucas is actually visiting that same friend right now in Utah. Mm-hmm. Then we got to the last 2 hours of the drive, and it starts snowing in Montreal. And we were in a four-wheel drive, but it was a small car.
Oh, wow.
So I was getting a little worried. And I drive in the snow a lot. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
But I've always had a bigger car.
Right.
I mean, I had a truck for years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm the man. And I was worried about that. And then, of course, the Rangers lose in overtime. And I was like...
Oh, I remember that. That was in March, right? I was watching that game.
March
8th? Why do I remember that? That's really concerning. It's probably because we talked about it. But anyway.
Who knows? All right, Caps. Any closing thoughts on the Caps?
Any closing thoughts? I'm currently trying to convince my mom to go to the event on Saturday.
Why not?
Hey, I might be spending the night in D.C. this weekend. Who knows? We'll find out.
Who knows? Devils play against the Capitals on Saturday. Capitals play tonight against Florida, you said?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how the Metro Division aren't in there.
Yeah, Islanders and
Islanders, Capitals, Islanders, Rangers, right. Devils, all in the Metro Division. So we'll see how the Metro Division fares out. Maybe the Chicago Blackhawks in the Central Division keep their pace. Who knows? But for us this week on 5-on-3, that'll do it. Once again, want to say congratulations to Larry Brooks on an incredible career.
Yeah.
Covering obviously didn't end how he wanted it to. Rest in peace, Larry, but thank you for everything you've done for the city of New York and the journalism industry as a whole. But for Lydia Perner, Grace McCarron, and Emma Leonardi. That'll do it for us here on this week's episode of 5 on 3.